Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it says in Isaiah, it says a lot in Isaiah, but it says he has made his house to be a house of prayer. And Jesus came into the temple, and he was pretty upset to see what was going on. He said, "You've made it a den of thieves, but it will be a house of prayer." It says another place that unless the Lord builds the house, that they labor in vain that do build it. Not that the house doesn't get built, but it's in vanity, the building of it. And I just really, Sunday school classes, been stressing prayer. It's just so beautiful, and it's so important. I so appreciate Sunday school being open with prayer and praying not just for the adults up here, but for every class. It's fantastic. Opening the service with prayer. This house shall be a house of prayer. Hallelujah. Because I don't want to be laboring vainly for nothing. We need to pray. We need to pray for this place and for God's kingdom to move. Hallelujah. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will
to arrive at home. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. If you don't know this verse, it might be a good verse for you to memorize. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing and your anointing upon your word this morning. And Lord, maybe we don't understand and how this works, but Lord, may we be able to reach out by faith today and receive the promise of this verse, that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think, according to your glorious and mighty power that works in us. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Title of the message today, More Than You Think. More Than You Think. A door-to-door vacuum cleaner salesman bullied his way into an elderly woman's home deep in farm country. "This machine is the best ever," he exclaimed, while pouring a bag of dirt on the lounge carpet. The woman was worried that all the dirt might not actually come off. So the salesman said, "If this machine doesn't remove all the dirt completely, I'll get down on my hands and knees and I'll lick it off." "Let me get you some ketchup," she says, turning toward the kitchen. "That's no problem, man. Ma'am, this beauty can suck up ketchup in a blink," the salesman says proudly. The woman responded, "Oh, it's not for the vacuum. It's to help you. We don't have electricity here yet." Now listen to me. If you're not connected to the power that wants to work in you, you can be the best machine ever, but you won't be able to accomplish anything. But if you're hooked up to the power source, if you're hooked up to the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be the best working machine ever hit the market. Now, I love this text today. I have to admit, I don't fully understand how it all operates and works. But I believe it by faith. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to that power that works in me, that works in us. We've been having a series entitled, Why Settle for Less? Why settle for less? When you can have the best, and the best of the best, why settle for less? Why settle for anything less than what God has for each and every one of us? And we want to expand that today, and I want to stretch you further than you've ever been stretched, okay? I'm going to tell you today how to enlarge your life and ministry. How to enlarge your life and ministry. Here's the first step. Dream big dreams. Dream big dreams. You know, since I talked about how Hershey chocolate bars are beneficial for your health, I've had a few of you come forward and agree with me, so my research is expanding. But you know, some people say you can't eat chocolate before you go to bed because it gives you bad dreams. Our family, we've discovered that the reverse is true. If you eat chocolate before you go to sleep at night, you have sweet dreams. So the first step is eat chocolate. No, that's not right. That's a private interpretation. No, that's a private interpretation to eat chocolate. No, dream big dreams. Allow dreams and desires to begin as photographs in your mind and in your heart. Moses said an incredible thing. I really hadn't thought about that till a couple of weeks ago. Moses said, "Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." Moses said, "I wish that every child of God were a prophet, and that he would pour out his spirit upon them." You know what? That prayer was answered on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was outpoured on all flesh, and Peter later stood up and said, "This is for you, for your children, and to all that are afar off." That prophecy, that prayer has come to pass. And one aspect about prophecy is that God speaks to us about the future. He sends the spirit of prophecy so that you and I can have insight into our future to understand what God wants to do with our life God doesn't want it to be a guessing game, but he wants to fill us with his Spirit, pour out his Spirit upon us, give us prophecy so that we understand what he wants to do with our life. Dream big dreams. To dream means to anticipate what is to come to pass and to contemplate it with pleasure. Anticipate what might come to pass. Dream about it, think about it, imagine about it, and then look forward to it with great pleasure. To dream is to be totally taken over by desire that motivates you toward your destiny. So number one, dream big dreams. Number two, set a course. Set a course. When God gives a dream, he also gives a specific course in life to fulfill. Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul had a course that charted his life. He had dreamed big dreams. He had received a call from God. God spoke to his heart. He knew what his ministry was. He knew that he was to be a missionary and take the gospel into the world at that time. And that calling, he enabled him to chart his life purpose and course. Now, there are elements in your life that you will have to fulfill concerning this course so that God can accomplish your dreams. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30 gives us the plan for doing this. The scripture says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." How many things? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You see, there's a progression that goes here. Because God does something, then he does something else. First of all, it says that you were foreknown. That means known beforehand by God, but not yet manifested to you. God knew you beforehand. He knew what your purpose, what your course in life would be, but that has not yet been manifested maybe unto you. God, in his foreknowledge, he knew that. He understood that. God's foreknowledge is the basis of his foreordaining counsel in your life. He knows what plans he has for you, and then he counsels you and gives you the spirit of prophecy so that you move in that direction of his foreknowledge and of his plan. And then it says you are predestined. God knows beforehand the particular boundaries and limitations of your life. God has predetermined certain aspects of your life, but with God's help, you can enlarge those boundaries. You can enlarge those possibilities. You can stretch those limitations. And that's the exciting part of the message this morning. And we'll get to that in just a moment. God can enlarge your ministry in your life. You have been justified. That is, you have been legally and formally acquitted from guilt, so that you are free to dream your dreams and set your course for life and go out there without the thought and worry of guilt, because you have been pronounced righteous. You don't have to deal with guilt and condemnation as you try to fulfill your dreams, even if you stumble in the process. You don't have to become something you're not. Justification. God looks at us just as if we had never sinned at all, because we have the righteousness of Christ that have been put on us. And then you are called. You are called. The Greek word here means to embrace an invitation by the Spirit of God for some specific task. God has called you. You are to embrace, you are to welcome that invitation by the Spirit of God for some specific task and course in your life. Someone said that a calling is a purpose in life so enjoyable that we're eager to do it regardless of the reward or compensation. Thomas Edison reportedly said, "I have never worked a day in my life. It was all play." Now, within this calling is the opportunity to enlarge the impact and potential of our lives. Jabez said an incredible thing. He asked God to enlarge his life. He asked God to enlarge his coast. And God granted that request in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. And Jabez called on the Lord God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." About a year ago, I preached on that subject. And I since heard a preacher mention this verse in a message of his. And I've been thinking about it a lot lately. And in this past year, that's been my prayer. Lord, increase my coast. Enlarge my coast. Extend my boundaries. You know what? God gave him that which he asked. God answered his prayer. God granted permission for him to enlarge his coast. And this is the exciting thing about this message to me today. We don't have to settle for less because God wants to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. God, enlarge my coast. Deepen my ministry. Well, how can you do that? How can you have your life enlarged? How can you have your ministry increased? Point three of the message today. Ask God to do it. Ask God to enlarge your coast. That's not really a difficult thing to do. It's simply a matter of prayer. Ask God to enlarge your coast. James tells us that we have not because we ask not. Prayer is essential for lasting motivation. You want to be a motivated person. You want to keep motivated. You have to be a praying person. Because prayer deepens your commitment and allows you to remove obstacles to that commitment on a daily basis. So simply ask God to enlarge your coast. Number four, enlarge your heart. While God is going to be working on enlarging your coast and extending your boundaries, you work on enlarging your heart. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Now this verse, of course, is talking about praying in the Spirit. Sometimes it's difficult to know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit has the mind of God continually. And He can pray for us and through us. And as you give yourself to prayer in the Holy Spirit, you will enlarge your heart. Every time you pray and you give yourself over to the will of God and the Holy Spirit, your heart, your capacity for God is being enlarged. Your heart is being enlarged. And that at the same time will increase the capacity to be motivated, which in turn will increase your ability to enlarge your borders, to be extended. It starts with prayer. Prayer releases you from stress. Prayer releases you from wrong thinking, bad attitudes, takes care of sin and unrighteousness and anything else that you would do that would cause you to lose your motivation. A praying person is a motivated person. Other ways to enlarge your heart are to follow God's commandments. Psalm 119 and verse 32 says, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." God gives us an enlarged heart. Starts in prayer, but our heart is enlarged. And then we go out and we keep God's commandments. And when we keep God's commandments, He honors us for our faithfulness. We become greatest of the great in the kingdom of heaven. Develop a fear of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 5. "Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged." The fear of the Lord enlarges your heart. Learn to fear God and not man. You see, the fear of God releases you from the snare of man and the hand of the enemy. If you're going to enlarge your border, if you're going to conquer new territory, if you're going to extend your boundaries and face the enemy head on, you cannot fear that enemy. You cannot fear what man might do to you. Instead, you fear God. And if you fear the task, your motivation will be squelched. If you fear the task, your motivation will be squelched. The fear of the Lord, however, brings riches and honor and life. Number five, train godly children. Train your children to be godly. In Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 2, an interesting verse. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Now that might say different things to you, but I'll tell you what that says to me. By enlarging the place of my tent, it's telling me to enlarge my home. Make my children godly. Strive to work with my children that they strengthen thy stakes. That my children are strengthened and they are godly children. You know, your children might take you places that you could not go by yourselves. I'm finding that out. Josh has taken me places with his chalk drawing that I could not get to myself. We have a drawing this Friday in Milwaukee. Pray for us. It looks like it's going to be probably the biggest drawing we've ever done in front of the most people. And just pray for us. But we have this opportunity because my prayer is, God, enlarge my tent, enlarge my ministry, and I want to dedicate my children to his goal. You notice what happened with David. David wanted to build a temple for God. God said, David, you can't do it, but I'll let your son do it. And your vision will be fulfilled in the life of your son. And how many times that happens? Men of God want to do something. They can't do it. God says, no, but I'll tell you what, that calling, that vision, that purpose will be done in the life of your son. And Solomon's kingdom expanded. People came from all over the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon. There was not a more glorious king ever in the history of the world than David's son, Solomon. Lord, enlarge my tent. Help my children to be godly children and fulfill whatever visions and plans and goals that I have for my life that I can't get accomplished. Fulfill them through the life of my children. Number six, remain faithful in small things. Remain faithful in small things. And Jesus said unto him, well, thou good servant. Well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little. Have thou authority over 10 cities. You see how his boundary was extended? His coast was enlarged because he was faithful in the small things. God said, I'm going to extend your boundary to over 10 cities. Faithful in small things and little things. You know, God blesses the littlest, the least, and the last. He does. He blesses the littlest, he blesses the least, and he blesses the last. He blessed little Israel, the fewest in number. He blessed the mustard seed. He blessed the widow's mite. He blessed the least. Gideon said, I am the least in my father's household. Saul said that he was from the least of all of the tribes, the tribe of Benjamin. Paul said he was the least of all the apostles. God blesses the last. Paul also said, I am the last of the apostles. He blessed Benjamin, the last of Jacob's children, with twice a double portion of the blessing. Remain faithful in small things. That is such a key. Remain faithful in small things, and God will put you in charge over more. And number seven, respond properly to distress and trials. Respond properly to the distress and trials that come into your life, because you know what? Your trials open up ministry opportunities for you. When people see how you handle distress and how you handle the trials of life and you still have a testimony, people seek you out. How did you do that? Can you share that grace that you have experienced with me? It enlarges your ministry. You know, I wonder if we would ever heard of Johnny Erickson Tata today if she would not have had that trial and that accident. It enlarged her tent. It enlarged her border, her place of ministry. We have to respond properly, however, to those distresses and trials. Psalm 4 and verse 1, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Psalm 4, 1. And the eighth way today, I'm going to come back to seven in a little bit. But number eight, I want to give you that one. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a way to enlarge your borders, to extend your coast. It was just beautifully touched on in Sunday school this morning. Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem for the power of the Holy Spirit, for the promised Spirit. And then when they received that, they went out and they began to witness effectively for the Lord. But remember Jesus, when he gave the promise, he said that you would be able to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Shirley brought that out. Great point. Do you notice how the boundary extends? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is what can do that for you. It can enlarge your life. It can enlarge your ministry. Although it doesn't say the word enlarge there like the other points we brought out. The concept is there. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, God doesn't give us wings to fly away from our problems. He doesn't take us out of the world to keep us from experiencing pressure. Instead, he gives us the strength to walk through the pressure and to be enlarged even while we're under stress. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 48, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, Goliath, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. God doesn't take us away from the problem, away from the pressure. Instead, he gives us the strength to walk through the pressure and to be enlarged while we're under stress. We can cope with our problems in one of four ways. Number one, we can run from them. Number two, we can go around them, only to face them again later. I found that out in my life. I've tried to get around problems. I have to come back and face them some other time. Number three, we can ignore them, hope they'll go away. That doesn't work either. Or we can do as David did, turn to face them with courage, knowing that God will help us overcome them. David's attitude in this verse reflects the attitude of someone who wants to enlarge his border. He ran to meet Goliath. He didn't walk out there all timidly, but instead he hasted. He ran to meet Goliath. He had great courage. Courage is the attitude that we need when we're facing danger, difficulty, or pain. Courage is the quality of going forward instead of stepping back when facing opposition. To be courageous is to be bold, alert, firm, and persistent when coming up against a giant. When we move in the spirit of courage, we'll confront any opponent with confidence that will ultimately succeed, acting as though it would be impossible for us to fail. And that's the way David went out here. I'm convinced of that. David went out there. There was no possibility in his mind that he was going to fail, that God was going to give him the strength and he was going to conquer the giant. And we need to have that same confidence. Run out there with our rock and our slingshot or whatever we have and have the attitude that David had, a courageous attitude that, God, we're going to extend our border. God, we're going to enlarge our coast. God, we're going to confront this enemy. We're going to take on this giant, and we cannot fail because we are standing in your strength and your strength alone. Don't wait for your problems to come to you. Run to meet them. David ran to meet Goliath. And we can approach our problems in the same way. Go out and meet them. Joshua's words to the Israelites are for us as well. Listen, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus saith the Lord, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. That's what the Lord wants to do to all your enemies against whom you fight. Now, there's something interesting about the Israelites and their border. When the children of Israel received this exhortation from Joshua to be courageous and go out and fight, and the Lord would destroy their enemies, and they would conquer the land that was promised to them. They went out and they conquered a large portion of land. They went out and they conquered a large portion of land. However, one pastor recently pointed out, Israel never conquered as much land as they could have. They never conquered as much land as God said they could have. Now, eventually this land will be conquered. When Jesus comes, Israel will have everything that God told them that they would have. But at the time the scriptures were given, God meant for Israel to have not only her land, but as you can see in the black portion on our map this morning, God meant for Israel to have half of Jordan, part of Saudi Arabia, 1/3 of Iraq, half of Syria, and all of Lebanon. Israel was meant by God to have an area of land 10 times the size she now has or have ever had. Joshua 13:1 is a very key verse. It says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." When Joshua was ready to die, when there was no more fight left in him, he was too old to go out and conquer more land. God said, "Joshua, you're too old to do this. But there still remains much land to be conquered, much land that I have promised to give you that you have not yet taken." Golda Meir, Prime Minister of Israel from 1969 through 1974, said that Moses was a poor leader. She said Moses was a poor leader because he roamed the Middle East and he settled in the only place where there wasn't oil. But you know what? You know what the surprising thing is? That if Israel would have conquered all the land that God promised in his word, they still would not have had oil. Because the oil is just beyond the boundary. This is the exciting part to me. This is the great part. Because the richest blessings of God, the greatest blessings of God, the greatest of the great blessings of God are just outside the border. The richest blessings of God are just outside the border. What if Israel would have conquered all the land that God wanted them to conquer and then said, "God, enlarge our coast and increase our border"? You know, that has become my prayer. "God, not only what you have planned for me, but Lord, I want more than that. I want to go beyond that. Thank you, Lord, for the richness of your grace. But Lord, as you promise in your word, he giveth more grace. Grow my grace. Thank you, Lord, for the portion of the Holy Spirit that has been poured out upon me. But Lord, may I be so bold as to ask for a double portion. Lord, thank you for the measure of faith that has been dealt to me. But Lord, increase my faith. Widen my influence. Enlarge my tent. Extend my border. Expand my heart. Amplify my voice. Broaden my ministry. Multiply my seed. Lengthen my wisdom. Deepen my walk. Inflate my gifts. Stretch my success." Can you say that this morning? Can you say it? "Lord, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been poured out, but I'm not satisfied with this portion. Lord, I want more. I want more of your Holy Spirit. I want more of your person. I want more of Jesus this morning. Thank you for this ministry, but Lord, there is more people out there that need to be reached, that need to hear the gospel message. Lord, I want more. Broaden my ministry, amplify my voice so that it's heard outside of these walls, so more than 50, 100, 150 people hear it, but Lord, that multitudes would hear my voice and your message." Man, I just want to get that in you today. I want you to get that to be your prayer. This whole thing has been burning in my heart. "Lord, enlarge my ministry, increase my border, extend my coast." It's just not for me, it's for all of us. Boy, there's such great potential. Our young people here could literally take the gospel message and our voice to the ends of the earth. They can do it. They can do it. We're a small town here, small village limits in Wilson, Wisconsin, but we can reach the entire world if we pray, "Lord, increase our borders, enlarge our coast." I have to tell you, though, that all of warfare is about one thing. It's about one thing. It's about gaining ground. It's about taking ground away from the enemy. Warfare is about enlarging your coast. That's what it's all about. It's about enlarging your coast, gaining ground. Do you think our enemy is going to sit by and let this happen? No, he's not. He is not going to sit by. He's not going to let this happen. One thing that he will do is he will set up smoke screens. Let me explain what I mean by a smoke screen. In warfare, you have enemy action. When they're moving in, they set up a smoke screen. And the smoke confuses everyone so that you don't know who your real enemies are. It's a tactic to cause confusion. The other is a fifth column where you have a country that's about to fall. So you send in agents ahead of time, and your agents wear down the people. They say things like, "It's hopeless," or saying, "The enemy is not real," or saying, "The enemy isn't really going to attack." And in a sense, they put up their own smoke screens, and they confuse the issue. We have people that are so filled with confusion today. It's a smoke screen. We have people who believe the lies of the devil. You can't do it, the devil says. And he comes and he fills our head with all kinds of lies. I just want to share some smoke screens with you this morning. One smoke screen that the devil uses today is lies and accusations. There's a smoke screen. What happens when I turn this on? All of your attention immediately goes over here, right? Your attention goes to the smoke. Satan does the same thing. He sets up a smoke screen. All of our attention goes to the smoke instead of where we're really supposed to be at. Lies of the enemy come against your mind, telling you that you can never be a winner, that you'll never be a champion. Most people live day to day full of worry, fear, and doubt with mountains of problems overwhelming them. They never get beyond their problems. They never get beyond their distresses. They have surrendered to smoke screens, lies, obstacles, and circumstances. They have given up the idea that they can overcome in advance because of the challenges that they face. But the Bible is the answer to every lie and accusation of the devil. And the devil teaches you, and the Bible teaches you that you have everything that you need to run, to rise above your circumstances. Listen to me. Circumstances are an illusion. Circumstances are nothing more than an illusion. People give in to their circumstances. I can't do anything. Look at the life that I come from. I'm only from a small church. I'm only from a small town. Satan sets up circumstances and they are illusions. Fanny Crosby overcame her blindness and became one of the greatest hymn writers the world has ever seen. William Carey, the great missionary, was only a cobbler. John Bunyan was a tinker. These people were able to rise above their circumstances. D.L. Moody was a shoe salesman who didn't speak very good English at that. We can rise above our circumstances. Challenges aren't put before us to discourage us. They give us an opportunity to be stretched beyond our normal capacity. That's what circumstances do, and that's what God loves to do, stretch us beyond our normal capacity. If you face challenges today, don't focus on the devil's smokescreen of lies, but focus on the clear truth of God's word. It's filled with testimonies of those who overcame great obstacles and came out as conquerors and enlarged their borders. The smokescreen of what others will say. The smokescreen of what others will say. Don't allow yourselves to be shaped by criticism or the opinions of others. You know what? People will judge by the human eye and they will say you can't. Sometimes they'll look you square in the eye and they'll say, you can't do that. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, I can. I can. Say that with me, just two words. I can. I can. I can. I can. I can. I can do all things. How many things? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think according to the power that works in us. And then the smokescreen of small ambitions. Small ambitions. If you stay around people who think small, your frame of reference will shrink. But if you study the Bible, meditate on the Word of God, enlarge your reading habits, by reading about men and women of God who did great things and who understood how to think big, and you walk with those who do the same, your frame of reference will grow. You can grow your frame of reference. Jobs, marriage partners, homes, etc., these are all important things. But you know what? When it comes right down to it, they are a small ambition. Because Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you as well. Focus on large ambitions, God's calling and plan for your life. And the third smoke screen, or the fourth smoke screen, the last one today, is what I call the 3D smoke screen. The 3D smoke screen. Disappointment, discouragement, and delays. Disappointment comes to everybody, but you know what? The devil wants you to focus on the disappointment. Or he comes in with that fifth column and he just brings havoc and he just disappoints you every step of the way. You know what? It's nothing but a big smoke screen. See it for what it really is. It's a smoke screen. Disappointments are a smoke screen. And discouragement also happens to everyone. But how many times when we get discouraged, we say, oh, poor me, poor my. Nobody else feels this way, I'm sure. You know what? Everybody, that might shock you, but everybody is discouraged once in a while. Discouragement is a smokescreen. And delays are a part of life. You might as well face the fact delays are part of. Do you know that you spent three years of your life waiting for people? If you live to be 70 years old, you spent 3 years of your life waiting for people. Not all the same people, hopefully. That's why punctuality is so important. Showing high esteem for other people in their time. You're wasting years off their life. Delays are simply a part of life. Remember this, God's timing is different than our timing. God's timing is different than human timing. Be patient and allow God to work out things in His way and in His time. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I just want you to think about this morning. You know, Jesus said that if you want to go out to war, you first must count the cost. And that's really what I'm calling you today to do, is to go to war. Some of you are already in the battle. Others of you are thinking about getting out of the battle. And maybe there are others who have just plain gotten out. I want you to reconsider this morning and to jump into this war with everything you've got. And pray, Lord, enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. I'm not satisfied with the way things are. I want even more than what you have planned for me. I want all of that, and then I want you to enlarge my coast, to extend my border. But listen, it takes some steps. There might be other steps. These are ones I thought of this morning. Dream big dreams. Set a course. Ask God to enlarge your coast. Begin to work on enlarging your own heart. Train godly children. Remain faithful in small things. Ask God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And respond properly to distress and trials. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to keep you a little bit longer this morning. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and before we ask really for a commitment, could we sing this chorus the ladies are playing? More of you, more of you. Worship the Lord as we sing it. Of the greatest things that we can experience, more of Jesus is the greatest thing. More of you, more of you. Let's sing it together. More of you. Let's stand, please. folks, turn to page 102. We're going to do something unorthodox today. We're going to sing the second and fourth verses. The second and fourth verses. You know, verse 2 is what we've really been talking about in this whole series. As we bring it to a climax today, more of His holy will discerned. Lord, what is Your will for my life? And then, Lord, expand that will and keep on expanding it over and over again. More about Jesus, page 102, second and fourth verses. More about Jesus, let me learn. Hungry, but as we sing it, I'm going to give the invitation at this time. I trust everybody here today is a believer, already been saved. As I look out across the congregation, I believe that you are. But if you want more today, this is the altar call I'm calling you to. More. More. Lord, extend my border. Lord, I want all that you have for me, and I want more. You know, there's nothing wrong with being greedy about the things of God. Nothing wrong about that at all. If you're here today and you've not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, Come and seek it. Just ask for it today. Lord, fill me with your Spirit that you might enlarge my witness and extend my border. This is some of the things that I mentioned that you can pray for today. You can pray for more grace. You can pray for more of God's Spirit. You can pray for greater faith. You can pray for an enlarged heart. You can pray for a double portion of God's Spirit. You can pray that God would enlarge your tent. You could pray that God would extend your borders. You could pray that God would deepen your walk, that He would inflate your gifts, that He would strengthen your success, that He would broaden your ministry, that He would amplify your voice. Those are just some of the things you can pray for and you can ask God to do. If you don't even know how to pray for specific things because He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think, just say, Lord, enlarge my border. Enlarge my border, increase my coast. Would you come, if that's your heart's desire today, count the cost first, and then come as we sing, Lord, I'm hungry. Lord, I'm hungry. Get on your knees today. The Lord gives grace to the humble. Yes. Lord, increase your hunger
inside of me. I'm hungry for a move of God.
church, the border of our church. Just kind of visualize these walls coming down today and the gospel being preached to our state, to our nation, to our world. Would you join me in prayer today? Let's seek God. Let's ask Him to do that. Oh God, we thank You for this church. And we thank You for the ministry that goes inside of this church today. But Lord, we ask that You would increase that ministry, that You would broaden that ministry. Lord, that You would increase our borders. Lord, that You would enlarge our coast today. That this gospel of Jesus Christ would literally be preached in all the world. Lord, that we as a body here would be able to fulfill the Great Commission. Lord, I pray for those today in our body that have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I pray that they would receive it right now.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Holy Spirit, descend and fall. Come down right now, Lord, I pray. And Lord, give those the evidence of speaking in other tongues and other languages. Hallelujah. 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 If the Lord gives you a prayer language today, just speak it out. Don't hold back. You know what? Satan will set up a smoke screen. He'll say it's your flesh. He'll just say it's your flesh. It's all in your mind. It's a smoke screen. It's a smoke screen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Individually, right now, individually, I want you to pray and ask God to enlarge your coast, to extend your border. The thing that you really want the most, or the two or three things even that you really want the most of, ask God for those right now. Whether it's grace, whether it's faith, whether it's more of His Spirit, whatever it is. Thing, and I know this space up here is kind of small. One last thing, I'd like you to gather with, if you have family here today, gather with your family. Those that don't have any family today, would you come up here with my family on the platform? I'd like all of my family. If you're here today without a family, would you please come and just join our family today? I want the leader of the family, father, if he's not here, the mom, to lead in a prayer, asking God to enlarge your border. Increase your tent. Enlarge your tent today. Enlarge your tent. Hallelujah. Ask the Lord to enlarge your tent. Consider yourselves dismissed. If you'd like to stay and pray, these altars are open, and I'd be happy to stay and pray with you. And if you're seeking the Lord for any specific thing, I'd be happy to pray with you about that. But you're dismissed. If you'd like to stay and pray, please do so. God bless you.